Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Our modern Christmas cookies can trace their history to recipes from medieval Europe when the trade routes introduced cinnamon, ginger, black pepper, almonds, and dried fruit to the West. And they're so good, many of those same recipes are replicated in kitchens across the country and around the world today. It's our annual holiday cookie show. Terry Moore is owner of My Old World Bakery on the southwest side of Columbus. We'll post a link to her website at wosu.org/allsides. Welcome back, Terry.
Thank you.
And Lisa Kaminsky is baking editor for Taste of Home magazine. Welcome to All Sides, Lisa.
It's a joy to be here.
Lisa, Christmas cookies and holiday baking, holiday cookies, there's Hanukkah cookies, all kinds. It's a major passion of yours.
Mine too.
Why for you?
Well, I'm sure it is for a lot of people, but I grew up in the kitchen with my mom and my aunts and two sisters, and we all love to bake. And so Christmas is kind of when we kick things into high gear. So It's a great way to make memories with your family. So I just continue to do that now and in my own home. And I try to even share it with my nephews, too. So it's just a habit and one that I love.
You know, Terry, and I was just grabbing a sample out of your box that you brought in. You said, that's my favorite. And you go, oh, who am I kidding? They're all my favorites. How many do you make now? How many varieties?
34.
Maybe? 34.
It depends. If somebody orders some extra cookies, I will make extra and put them out because
like special custom made.
Everybody has, you know, their favorites that they grew up eating, and it's like, oh, I've never heard of that. I'll make it for you.
What's your most popular?
The kolache, the ones you ate.
Okay.
Or the sugar cookies and the springerlies because I make those all year.
Okay.
Because people have to have their springerlies.
And Lisa Kaminsky, what is your sense about what are the top cookies out there?
That's such a good question. I feel like, I mean, Christmas cookies, a lot of them are timeless, but you see a lot of people reaching back into their grandma's cookbooks now looking for those kind of 1950s style cookies. So lots of things with like maraschino cherries and chocolate, even those kind of slice and bake cathedral cookies with the colorful marshmallows. And I still think that decorated cookies are still becoming more popular at home during, you know, quarantine and COVID. A lot of people had more time on their hands to decorate, and some people found that to be really satisfying and a lot of fun. So I see those as still being more popular than ever, I think.
And there's not just one kind of cookie that you decorate. They call it the sugar cookie. It's sort of ubiquitous, but there's different kinds of sugar cookies with different textures, and that matters too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Terry?
Well, some people like softer cookies, and I like to dunk my cookies, so I like a harder cookie because soft cookies don't hold any milk.
Uh-huh. And they're kind of pointless. I just like a lot of sugar in my cookie and a lot of icing on it is the way I roll on that score. And it is sort of a family tradition in our family. Listeners, we're really looking for your family traditions or any kind of story about holiday cooking and holiday cookies, I should say. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is our 2022 edition of Holiday Cookie Show. So join us with your stories. And I have two experts here. If you have a question about cookies, maybe the origins of a cookie or how to make it work for you, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Terry, do you only cook Christmas cookies at this time of year, or do you continue with your full?
Oh, no, we have the whole thing going still. With the bread, the donuts, pies, regular cookies, lots of puff paste because I love puff pastry.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're doing the whole thing.
And you get big corporate orders.
Oh, I had this the German Village Society that helps support Schiller Park just ordered 225 pounds of cookies over the weekend.
People love their sugar. I shouldn't say sugar cookies. They love their holiday cookies. Lisa Kaminsky, I mean, it really is part of a huge, long, long, long tradition.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see families where maybe they don't cook Polish food all year, but when Christmas rolls around, all of a sudden they're making the kolaches, they're making the kruszczyki, they're making all those sorts of very old world cookies. So I think it's a good time for people to sort of reach back and pull back those traditions.
A lot of traditions about holiday cookies have to do with spices and liqueurs and things that need to be seasoned and aged.
Well, gingerbread is originally, they age it for a year before you eat it. Now, I've never tried that because it doesn't last that long, but it's supposed to get softer and the flavors develop. I'm going to try it this year if I can keep myself from eating them all summer long.
Okay. Do you store them in a particular way?
I have a cookie cabinets.
Okay.
They just age them.
You say cookie cabinets like we all know what a cookie cabinet is.
Oh, a cookie cabinet's like a big, I don't know, it's like a proof box, but without wet or dry. It's just a sealed cabinet to keep things out and keep the air in.
Okay.
Kind of like a pie safe.
Okay.
Like they used to make a pie safe, you know, put your pies in it to keep the animals out and the pies in it. But it's like for cookies.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I guess I wanted to ask you too, when you get started in your cookie baking. Now, you're a professional journalist who writes about it and so on, what? Lisa Kaminsky. How about you? I mean, but you're otherwise just like the rest of us, at home baking cookies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I usually don't start baking until about 2 weeks out. A lot of cookies don't have a super long short life, like those gingerbread, you know, like a spritz cookie, maybe 2 weeks, I think. So just so they taste their best on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve when everybody's really kind of getting their fill, I want them to be their best. So
do you freeze them at all?
Yeah, there are some. I mean, a lot of like shortbread, spritz, butter cookies, those are all great contenders for freezing. I mean, you can make that dough 4, 5, 6 months in advance, mm-hmm. keep it in the freezer. And then when you're, you know, getting closer in on the holiday season, you can break it out and half the work's already done.
Right. Right. But Terry, you make yours fresh.
I don't have any freezer space.
Yeah.
I have like one little freezer. So it's make it and bake it.
So when you're talking about 34 varieties of cookies, that's what you're doing almost every day?
Pretty much. Pretty much. That's fun. I have a good time. I mean, it's really...
It's still fun after all these
years.
It is
still fun. I've been doing it for 40 years, and it's still fun.
What inspires you to add a variety?
No bored taste buds. I do not want anybody to have bored taste buds, especially me.
And so you're always willing to bring another flavor.
I'm always willing to try something new.
Yeah. Is there anything new under the sun?
Yes, actually. You have people that bring in combinations that I've never thought of that are... I have one lady, what is it? It's an amaretto shortbread with dark chocolate chunks.
Oh, my God.
Which I haven't tried before, but I've got the amaretto. I'm ready to roll.
You know, it was something you mentioned, Lisa Kaminsky, earlier, and I'm interested in what you had to say about this too, Terry, is how would a cookie looks like at the holiday time takes on a different, brings on a new level of importance, right? That you want some color to it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's when your like red and green food colorings out of the box, those are all gone. I mean, it's time to go vibrant, you know, get those gel food colorings out for your frostings or your, or even your shortbread, all that sort of stuff. And I mean, just load up on sprinkles. I mean,
more sprinkles.
Yeah. You don't have an occasion to really make a fancy cookie the rest of the year unless you have someone that especially requests it from you. So why not at the holidays load on all the edible glitter and luster dust? It's fun. It just makes everything a little more joyful.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we do decorated cookies for lots of holidays, so I can't say we don't decorate for, you know, Easter.
Yeah, because you're the professional, but...
Yes, but I mean, home cooks, I do a lot of plain cookies, so people that don't want to bake can buy plain sugar cookies and take them home and have fun with them.
That's another time saver, right, Lisa?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, especially with kids... They're not necessarily interested in the mixing and the waiting for it to bake. I think buying a pre-made cookie like that, especially from a bakery where you know it's going to be good, not something out of a package at the grocery store. I think that's a great way to get right into the fun part.
My favorite sugar cutout cookie, I should say, is actually a thinner kind of version. It's more delicate, and kids have a really hard time icing them because they sort of break in their hands. It's hard. Mm-hmm. There's better versions for that. I'm okay with it, and I make it happen, but it's not like I can invite the neighborhood kids over to have a blast with me.
Well, some of the kids might be breaking them on purpose because the accidents have to be eaten right then.
Right.
You can't really...
I certainly do that. I've always had the junk cookies at the end where you just kind of pat the dough down and slam it in there just so you can taste test, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lisa, you wrote about cookie baking for every skill level. What do you, let's talk about the top skill level. Who's or maybe let's start at the beginning. What's a basic cookie for a first timer?
I would say like a thumbprint cookie is a great basic, and it's, people love that, and you can kind of customize the flavor with whatever sort of jams and jellies you have on hand. But I mean, if you can manage a very basic cookie dough and roll it into a ball, you can do a thumbprint cookie. I also think like a chocolate crinkle cookie, the kind that's rolled in the powdered sugar and baked, and they, some people call them pixies. That's a great beginner cookie.
Ooh,
too. You don't need any special, you know, tools or ingredients to make something like that.
What do
Plus
you say, Terry? You've heard of
pixies? I never
pixies?
Heard them called pixies. I like the name.
What do you call them?
Chocolate crinkles.
Okay.
Now, I do use a wine cork to poke holes in the thumbprint cookies because I don't have very big fingers and I want more room for jam. So.
And also, there's a technique where you're supposed to like let it bake for a while and then...
Oh, yeah, you can do that, too.
I've never done it because that
would
require
planning.
Yeah,
I just use the wine cork before you bake it, and it makes a nice big depression that stays there.
Okay. All right. Good to know. What? All right, so that's beginner skill level. So what's the next? How many levels did you write about?
I only wrote about 3 levels.
Okay.
And I think, really, if you have the patience, you can do them, any of them. Some of them just kind of require special tools once you kind of make your way up the chain. But I would say like a medium skill level would be like something like a spritz. You can get a cookie press at any, you know, like a Macy's or a Target for, you know, $25 or under. And those are very easy to make. They take a little bit of trial and error for maybe the first 2 or 3 cookies. But, you know, I think that's a good medium skill level, or something like a cutout cookie, you know, that doesn't require anything other than a rolling pin. But you just have to have a little patience and work your geometry on how to fit all the cookie cutters in there as best as possible, because you really don't want to re-roll that dough more than once, because otherwise it gets kind of tough.
Right. That's a good point. I mean, I've got like little tiny cookie cutters that I pop in the corners and stuff.
That's a great idea. And then, yeah, bake all the small ones on one sheet tray and bake all the large ones on the other one, so you're not shuffling in out of the oven halfway through the bake time.
Right. Good point. So then expert skill level or senior skill level, however you put it?
I would say something like, I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with like rosette cookies. They're a fried Scandinavian cookie where you use a special iron and you dip. I guess it's not even technically a cookie because it's fried, but you see it often in cookie books where you dip the iron into the batter and then that into the fryer. And they're very delicate, and it takes a lot of time to master them. And sometimes the irons can be a little harder to find, something like that, or a fried kruszczyki, like that's a Polish angel wing cookie. Those can be a little fussier.
Those are tricky.
I would even just say,
what's tricky about
the angel
Terry?
Wings? I'm not even going to try kruszczyki. Is that right?
Kruszczyki, yep. Yeah.
Yes, I had a customer that ordered a bunch of those over the summer for a funeral. So those were interesting.
What are they?
It's a really rich dough made with egg yolks, and then you roll it extremely thin, cut it as an angle, and then tuck the corners in. You turn it in, cut it in a rectangle, make a slice, tuck it inside out, and fry it. But they're beautiful. And then you glaze it.
How long did it take you to get the hang of it?
Well, we do our fried Danish to the same shape, so it was basically...
Oh, okay.
I was just doing the same shape as we do a donut, so
okay.
That wasn't a tricky part.
What's the tricky part?
Not frying them too long.
Oh.
They're extremely thin.
Oh, okay. Okay, light on the fry.
Yes.
We're going to take a break, and we have more to talk about. Listeners, we're looking for your stories, looking for your questions. If you have a question about a recipe, anything, we like to hear your stories about your cookie baking traditions at the holiday time. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Christmas cookies. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. It's our annual holiday cookie show. One of our favorite parts of the show is you and your stories. What are your favorites and what are your memories about those favorites? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Still with us, Terry Moore, owner of My Old World Bakery on the southwest side of Columbus. We'll have a link to her website at wosu.org/allsides. And also Lisa Kaminsky, she's baking editor for Taste of Home magazine. Again, questions, comments, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I was just talking to Terry off air, Lisa Kaminsky. We're talking about Spritz cookies and the cookie press struggles. They're real. It's hard to do those. I mean, it's simple, but it takes muscle in your hands.
It does. And I think it takes a certain sort of muscle memory. My mom has an old fashioned Miro cookie press, and she can work that like a machine. It's insane. And I just can never quite get the hang of it. I have a new version where you kind of pull it like a trigger and it just spits out one cookie at a time. So I admire anyone that can work those old ones as well as she can.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have a pretty new one, but it's a trigger one. But it's tough, and I've always wondered if my dough is too stiff. But, Terry, you're saying, no, it's got to be that way to keep the shape.
It does. If you make it softer, they kind of melt out of shape.
Yeah, so you have...
I have an electric one.
Electric one. She's a pro. People, 614-292-8513 is the number to call. And Julie in Groveport, you're on the air. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I have a quick memory. I'm the oldest of seven kids. My mother, and she had seven kids in 10 years. My mother was not the kind of baker who invited you to help. In fact, she wanted you out of the way. But every year at Christmas, I don't know where they came from, but she had all these cookies she'd make and she'd put out. It was a big deal for her. So I was amazed thinking about how and when she got that done. But my question is about what I believe is an old Betty Crocker Christmas cookie recipe. And the dough is made with cream cheese and no sugar. And you roll it out like a cutout cookie. You cut it in circles. You pierce each one several times with a fork. And you sprinkle sugar on the top and you bake them. And they're almost like crackers. But then you ice them with colored icing. So you turn them into sandwich cookies. And I have not been able to find that recipe.
I think I have that old Betty Crocker cookbook. Lisa Kaminsky, you're nodding. You is familiar?
Absolutely. My mom has the cookbook and it is duct taped and rubber banded together. And I'm very familiar with it. And I make a very similar cookie to that with no sugar in the dough and the cream cheese, and it just gets coated in cinnamon sugar. So I have a feeling I know very similar in the same vein as those cookies, but I've never seen them sandwiched together. So I guess I didn't get to that page of the cookbook, or it got lost or fell out of the duct tape binding at this point.
My Betty Crocker is the sheets. My husband keeps telling me, you've got to take photographs of those pages because they're literally going to disintegrate. What about you, Terry? Any ideas?
I have a lot of cookbooks. I'm not saying how many because
but about this particular
really
cookie?
Yes, I've seen it. I've never made it because I just haven't made it. I don't know why.
You know what, Julie? That sounds like the dough I make for my tartlets, like my walnut or pecan tartlets, where it's just butter, flour, and cream cheese, I think. Maybe not even any butter. I don't know. But you just punch it down in it. It makes a really flaky crust. It's kind of freaky. You know what, Julie? I'm going to look for that. And if I find it, I'll post it on my the Facebook page for All Sides. I'll check it out. So stand by in the next day or two. I'll get that done. Let's see. Betsy in Newark, you're on the air. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So I just was going to share my favorite Christmas memory cookie-wise was it was in the 70s, and it was during the heating oil crisis, and our school ran out of money and couldn't keep heating, so it shut down, and we had a very extended Christmas vacation. But six kids in our family, so my mom set us down and had us making cookies. And we made more cookies that year than I ever remember. But my favorite was always the Lady Locks cookies, which I still love to this day, still make every year. But it seems that that's more of a North northeastern Ohio thing, not a central Ohio. But definitely a Christmas favorite are the Lady Lox.
What's in them?
So it's a light dough, kind of like what you were just talking about, and you wrap them around the old-fashioned clothespins, you know, not the kind with the...
The old wooden ones, yeah. The old,
no spring clips.
Yeah, the old-fashioned wooden ones, yeah. So I don't know if they have a different name for them in central Ohio, but
clothespin cookies.
Call them Lady Lox.
Yeah.
Clothespin cookies.
That's what people call them here.
And you make them?
I do, but I do not use a clothespin. I use a dowel rod.
Okay.
Very nice, clean, very old, well-used dowel rods.
Okay. And it's the plain dough again?
It is, because the excitement from those comes from the filling.
Well, all right, so you make them.
You make them, and you slide them
and
off.
It's like a little pipe. Oh,
it's
I
like
get
a
it.
Little pipe, and then you put a very rich, very sweet filling in it.
Okay, all right, I'll buy that. Betsy, I love that memory, though, and I remember the 70s and the energy shortages. Thanks a lot for that call. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear your memories about holiday cookies. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And Terry Moore, owner of My Old World Bakery on the southwest side of Columbus, she's back. I think this is your fifth or sixth or so. I don't even know.
A lot of years.
Yeah, a lot of years. And Lisa Kaminsky, baking editor for Taste of Home magazine, is also with us. Are there any trends this year, Lisa Kaminsky?
Well, that's good. Like I said before, I think a lot of like those 50s style cookies are really kind of making a comeback, because maybe mom never made those cookies, but now the grandchildren are remembering what grandma used to make. So I think I've been seeing a lot more like Jell-O mixes and cookies than I have recently, like people making a raspberry spritz, like we were talking about before, but using a raspberry Jell-O powder in there to give it this flavor.
Oh, interesting.
The meringue cookies that have the little mini chocolate chips in there, which I feel like were very popular years ago, or the cherry surprise cookies, lots of maraschino cherries I've been seeing.
That's right.
or, you know, even using the cherry juice to flavor the base of a, you know, the Kiss cookies, where you put the Hershey Kiss on top. Instead of making a peanut butter base, you would make a cherry base. That's a very popular recipe on tasteofhome.com.
Terry's getting all excited over
here.
That'd
be good, because a lot of people are allergic to peanuts.
Oh.
But they still want the Christmassy stuff.
Oh, yeah, that is a good idea.
So I use like tahini or almond butter, but cherry would be good, or strawberry.
Yeah.
It tastes like a chocolate-covered strawberry.
Yeah, it's like a basic butter cookie dough then, and it's a great way to use up that leftover cherry juice on the bottom of the jar from all your other recipes.
I just drink it. So... Terry, what about you? Any trends in what people are asking for?
Not really. They just want all the ones we always make, and more of them.
More of them. More. Let's see. Ed in Baltimore, you're on the air. Hi, Ed.
Hello. My wife likes to bake for the bake sales, and she's made upwards of 220 dozen cookies some years. My favorite is the white chocolate macadamia nut that she makes. And this year she's trying a new recipe. We found some what we thought were regular pecans last year, but they were maple flavored and she didn't know what to do with them. So this year, looking through her recipes, she is going to do a date maple pecan recipe and see how that turns out. And since a suggestion for people that think they have too many cookbooks, I know Pickerington Food Pantry is asking for gently used cookbooks, and maybe some of the others are too.
Oh, that's a nice idea. That's people need cookbooks.
I don't have too many.
No. I have a pile
Not
that
yet.
I say I'm going to give away, but I never do. And I don't know what's wrong with me. It's like a... All right, Ed, thanks a lot. And good luck eating those cookies. I'm jealous. There's a thing about fruit in cookies that I feel like is a sort of a comeback thing. Sort of like, you know, fruit cake, but... lots of dried fruit in cookies. Lisa Kaminsky, is that sort of that 50s vibe again?
I think so. And I think people sometimes get overwhelmed by the chocolate or doing a lot of decorating, and adding something like dried cranberries and some orange zest can make cookies look very festive without having to do a whole lot. You get that color on your cookie platter without having to stir up icing and break out a piping bag and all that mess.
Yeah, that reminds me of my mom's dry, it's a cornmeal cookie with cranberries in it, dried cranberries in it.
Oh, I've had those. Those are tasty.
Really good. Really, really good. What about, well, let's take another call real quick. Jeff Darby, famous from Columbus Neighborhoods. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you, Ann?
Good, thank you.
My memories of Christmas cookies made by my wife's Aunt Lillian. They were always really good. She made dozens and dozens of different kinds, but among our favorites were the seven-layer cookies.
I haven't heard of those.
And at one point we asked, well, yeah, they're wonderful. They have, in fact, seven ingredients, and they're just great. And we asked for the recipe, and she gladly gave it to us, but we never made it because she always did. But once she passed away, we thought, well, Christmas is coming. We better make the cookies. We could not get it right. They would not come out right. We finally decided that Aunt Lillian left something out to make sure that she would always remain the queen of the Christmas cookies. That's our memory of Christmas.
And what's the lesson there, Jeff, is that you should make it while they're still around so you can check and nail them.
Yeah, so we can confront her and say, what in the world did you leave out? Because these are not working.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call.
Sure,
take
bye-bye.
Take care. I remember it's one of my cookie memories is asking my very persnickety grandma, who did not like us anywhere in her fabulous kitchen, asking her to show me how to make cutouts because my mom just could not make them as well. And that's to this day. I mean, I still follow all of her tips. So not too much flour, make some bland tasting, roll them out quick, don't futz. Keep them chilled. What else?
Well, we used to use a rolling pin with a sock. I don't use that at the bakery, but it was like a canvas cover that you put on your rolling pin, and it would keep it from sticking more.
Oh, so you didn't have to use as much flour.
So you used less flour.
Oh. Have you heard of that?
I've never heard of that before. No, I've seen people put it between layers of wax paper or parchment paper before, or those silicone mats, but I've never seen them. A sock.
I don't, that may not be what it's actually called. That's really makes sense. Call it the rolling pin sock. Yeah. And it just, and we also had an old canvas that was just, had flour in its weave and it would just, they wouldn't stick.
Interesting. I've heard of that, but I never thought of it as having flour in the weave.
Oh, if you smacked it would just dust all over the place.
614-292-8513 is the number to call. We'd love to hear your stories and hear your memories and also questions or comments. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Linda in Dublin, you're on the air. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. I'm making an old family cookie right now. They're peanut bars. My mother-in-law taught me to make them about 55 years ago. And you start with a butter cake that you make from scratch, let it age for a couple of days, cut it in little squares, dip it in petit-four frosting, and roll it in ground peanuts.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds quite tasty.
Yes. I mean, you just use a plain vanilla cake?
It has to be a butter cake recipe.
Okay.
Made from scratch, not a cake mix. They're too fluffy.
Okay, all right.
You need kind of a dense, moist cake. Pound cake doesn't work. It's not the right texture.
And then you just do it like on a jelly roll pan?
I put it in a 9x13 and then dump, take it out. And then cut it in small squares, about inch by inch. And then dip it in this runny petit-four frosting and roll it in ground peanuts and let them sit for a couple of days. They're incredible.
Oh my God. Sounds like a lot of work.
It is. It's a putsy cookie, but...
But it's all right, Christmas. So the petit-four frosting, I've never made that. What is that?
It's basically powdered sugar, corn syrup, and water, and you heat it till it gets real thin.
Okay. And then you have to dip it fast before it chills, before it hardens.
Yeah, I keep it in a pan, set the pan in hot water. It's a process, but you have to have them.
Yeah, you have to do it.
Did anyone really answer the cream wafer question? Because I have the recipe in front of me.
Oh, what's it called?
Cream wafers.
Cream wafers. I was so excited. It's cream wafers. You know what? Could you, Linda, are you on Facebook?
I can be.
Well, you could go to All Sides and post it on the All Sides page, or you could just email it to allsides@wosu.org, and we'll look for it and post it for you.
I'll do that.
Okay. allsides@wosu.org. Linda, thanks a lot. I love your story.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
Let's take a quick break. My guests are Lisa Kaminsky. She is baking editor for Taste of Home magazine. Also with us, Terry Moore. She's owner of My Old World Bakery. They make 34 varieties of holiday cookies this time of year. It's in Southwest Columbus. It's worth the trip. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. It's our annual holiday cookie show. We're talking today about baking them, eating them, gifting them, and the memories associated with them. We want to hear your stories about Christmas and other holiday cookies today. Share an idea, share a memory, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Still with us, Lisa Kaminsky. She's baking editor for Taste of Home magazine, and also Terry Moore, owner of My Old World Bakery on the Southwest Side. We'll have a link to her website at wosu.org/allsides. Are there some cookies, Lisa Kaminsky, that are better for gifting than others?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it depends where you're bringing them, but I do think in general a sturdier cookie is a better choice. So sending something like those very delicate Krustiki cookies that we mentioned earlier, they're gonna fall into shards in a second. So I would say something like a biscotti or a shortbread cookie is really good for gifting. Also, you want to keep in mind, if you don't know the recipient super well, keep it with, everybody's favorites, a good butter shortbread, almond cookies, Mexican wedding cakes, those sorts of classics, I think, are good for gifting. And keep your, very fussy or a little bit out there cookies for yourself.
You know, one thing, Terry, about yours is they're like kind of one or two bite cookies.
Yes.
Which I love. You can nibble on them. They're not big.
You can try more cookies that way.
Yes, you can try more. But what do you think about as far as gifting cookies?
If you don't know the people well, I would avoid nuts and peanuts just because you don't want to kill the recipients. That's just rude.
Right.
And gingerbread is always acceptable, especially for vegans, because gingerbread is naturally a vegan cookie. There's no eggs. There's no butter.
Okay.
That's safe for vegans.
Well, how do they hold it together?
It's basically a bread. It's like bread. I mean, it's made with bread flour, so it has the gluten in it, and you have to let it sit and relax before you roll it out.
Oh, okay.
But that travels well, too.
I've never made gingerbread, I think, as patently obvious by now. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. We'd love to hear your stories. Levi in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Levi.
Hi, and big fan of the program.
Thank you. So,
yeah, I my Christmas memory, my mother back in rural Michigan would always make a big batch of Christmas cookies for nearby neighbors and friends and such. And I'm looking to continue that tradition here in Columbus. I also do a Christmas party with my friends every year. And this year I'm planning on doing a gingerbread decorating little activity with them. And I'm hoping I don't have very good luck with my first bakes every time I try something.
Yeah,
I need to do it a couple times before I get it really the hang of it. I was wondering if you guys had any tips for good gingerbread.
So, Terry?
Use fresh ginger for better tasting cookies. I get the tubes of ginger in the grocery stores, because every time I try and grate ginger, I shred my hands. So I just don't do that anymore.
Okay.
But just if you have a favorite recipe or a recipe you've tried that it didn't work, you can always just make sure you let it relax before you try to roll it out, because otherwise it seizes up and it doesn't work very well.
Okay. You mentioned that earlier, letting it relax. And when you talk about fresh, if you're going to substitute, the powdered spice with fresh, how do you do that?
About half.
Oh, okay. All right. Does that make sense, Levi?
Thanks very much.
Yeah, hey, that's okay. But like Lisa Kaminsky, what about you? Any ideas for a good, safe gingerbread?
I would say for any cookie you're making, this is a tip from my mom via her mom, is always bake a test cookie. So have your oven the way you want it to be and have that middle rack ready. Bake just one singular cookie so you can kind of get a judge on that temperature and the time, so you're not ruining a whole batch of cookies. You can just perfect or ruin one at a time.
Okay.
get a good thermometer and make sure your oven is the right temperature, the temperature it says on the gauge, because almost every oven is wrong.
Yeah, so
you
can
get it,
yes.
get it on and, you know, put yourself a little note, you know, add 10 degrees, subtract 10 degrees to make sure it's the temperature you want it to be.
Yes. And those things that just hang from the rack in the oven. There, you can see them easily.
Yes,
and also check on them, because I notice after, if I'm doing, you know, 15 batches of cookies in a row, the oven, it gets, I don't know if it gets hotter or what, but I've got to watch them more closely toward the end. They seem to get done faster.
They do. Even in my commercial oven, it feels like it's baking faster.
Right.
It might actually not be because I don't set a timer. I just do it till they're done.
Well, you're the pro. Levi, I hope that helps. Good luck. Have a nice party. John in Lima, you're on the air. Hi, John.
Hi. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you.
My grandma and I would make what we called big fat white cookies. And to look at them, they looked like a sugar cookie, but the texture was completely different. You had to make the dough one day and refrigerate it and then cut it out the next. And so, completely different texture.
So you're saying that you use them like cutout cookies, or just are they just rounds?
Yeah, you cut them out yourself.
Okay.
And the key ingredient is almond extract.
Well, I always like a good almond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask, too, about the I've heard that there's plenty of five-star chefs that don't know how to bake. You know, that baking in and of itself is an art.
I think baking and cooking are the same thing. But,
well,
I do know a lot of chefs that won't touch baking, and they won't touch a wedding cake.
Yeah, yeah.
They won't go near it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it just seems like it's a whole different sort of art.
Yeah.
A lot of people consider baking to be more of a science because you rely a lot more on certain chemical reactions and proportions. As or with cooking, if you added a little extra, you know, wine in your pan, or you added too many carrots, everything will kind of come out in the wash. But with baking, you add an extra egg that can totally, you know, mess with your formula.
When I was a kid in junior high, I was doing an expository presentation and I was going to do it on baking cookies. And we think in retrospect, the baking powder or the baking soda, I can't remember what I was making, oatmeal cookies, was dated. Something in it, the chemical that needed a chemical reaction was dated. And the cookies were like flat. They were like flat. And
baking powder will get old and it won't.
Yeah, it must have been the baking powder. So I ended up doing my presentation because I made like four different batches. None of them turned out. I did a presentation on what not to do. I guess by the time we figured out it was the baking powder, I was out of oatmeal. So, you know, it was the night before, but it's kind of an interesting, and I got an A on it. So just there you go. John, thanks a lot for that call. Interesting ideas. I love almond. Ron in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Ron.
Hi. Yeah, happy holidays to all of you.
Thank you.
One of my favorites, not my favorite, cookies are my favorite, but anyway, one of my favorites comes from my mother-in-law. Her maiden name was Kleiber. Her married name was Kaufmann. And it's a German cookie, Springerli. It doesn't look like much, you know, plain white, but it is delicious. It's imprinted, you know, impressed with the figures on the top when you roll them out and cut them. But they're best weeks after Christmas. They're a great dunker. So bring on the Springerli.
I make Springerlis all year, and I make a lot of them. Some person came in the bakery and wanted to buy my cookie press. I was like, what am I going to make cookies with then?
What is, so is Springerli sort of like a layer on?
No.
Okay.
It's, That is one of the oldest cookies I make. The earliest recipe that's written down is like 1460. So it's a very old cookie.
What goes into it?
Well, first you beat the egg white, the eggs till they're almost, eggs and sugar till they're almost white. This takes half an hour on a stand mixer. I can't imagine these poor people in the 1400s beating them by hand.
Yeah.
They had to switch off. And then it's just flour and baker's ammonia is what I use, and the anise oil. And then you roll it out and you cook it. I also have my great-grandmother's rolling pin, but the press works better because you can give it a little wiggle to get better pictures.
Uh-huh.
And then you just cut them out and let them dry for about 12 to 24 hours so the picture, they don't spread out, and then you just bake them.
Baker's ammonia?
Yes, ammonium carbonate.
Okay. What is that?
It's a leavening agent. It makes them pop. It's instead of baking powder. You can also use baking powder, but I've never have.
Okay.
Or soda. It's one of the oldest leavening agents, and you probably don't want to know where the Romans got their ammonia.
Okay.
Because, yes, that's where they got their ammonia. But it's an old leavening agent.
Lisa Kaminsky, you've heard of Springerlees, I'm sure. They're classics.
I have. I have never made them myself. I think getting them out of the mold is always very tricky. I think if you're a home baker and you want that sort of imprinted look, a good way to get it is just to use your favorite cutout cookie recipe. And you can find embossed rolling pins at a lot of cooking stores now or online. There's a lot of woodworkers that make them, and they'll just have a design in there, whether it's just some sort of filigree or pine cones or even crazy things like sloths and llamas and all sorts
cats.
Of, you know, funny animals.
Cats,
cats, dogs, whatever you want. So you kind of get that imprint that you would with like a Springerly cookie, but without having to have all those extra skills and molds.
But you have to flour them thoroughly, right?
Yeah, I use a little pastry brush with natural bristles, and I dust that into the embossed rolling pin before, because otherwise it can be a little challenging to get it just right.
And you said you had an old embossed rolling pin of your mother's?
My great-grandmother's.
Okay, wow.
Yes, but it doesn't, I can't get it to work. Everything sticks.
Oh,
so that's why I have a metal press.
Okay.
It does a dozen cookies at a time, and you just kind of, I roll it out, and I let the dough sit for about 5 minutes, so it kind of gets a little crust on top.
Okay.
And then you if you put it on, and then I use a pastry wheel to cut between it.
Okay.
So nice and neat.
Ron, thanks a lot for that call. Appreciate it. Everybody else, we still have time. Give us a call. We'd love to hear your memories. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Cookie exchanges are still popular. I think there's probably going to be a little resurgence of them this year after the shutdowns and whatnot. One thing that drives me nuts is when people bring pretzels dipped in chocolate to them. That's not a cookie, people. And no store-boughts are allowed. But what's a good, safe, you know, what do you think looks good in a cookie exchange presentation, Lisa Kaminsky?
Oh, that's, I think some people like to go for the classics, like a Mexican wedding cake, the little, or a Russian tea cake, depends what you want to call it, the little rounds that are dusted in powdered sugar. I mean, how can you resist anything that's coated in powdered sugar or cinnamon
twice,
sugar?
Yeah.
Twice.
You do once when it's warm and once when it's cooled.
Right. I mean, you can't resist those. I always think that the decorated cookies, they look so good, but I'm the kind of person that goes with something that's, it's either filled with nuts or lots of chocolate or something I've never seen before. I think a good thing is if you're doing a cookie exchange is to make a few of those favorites that people know you for, whether it's, you know, a shortbread cookie or an alfajore with the dulce de leche in the middle or the Italian rainbow cookies, but then throw in one new one or something that's a little bit out of the box.
Let's see. It's a fun idea. Kathy in Grove City, you're on the air. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
My mom had the sock for the rolling pin and the cloth, pastry cloth that you rolled it on too when I was growing up. So that's how we learned to do cutouts. But I wanted to say our family did pizzelles and we're not Italian. But my mother learned because her mother had a caregiver who was Italian. And so she passed that along to all of us. And when my mother got a little bit older, she gave me the pizzelle iron, and now that's my job every year.
Nice, so. Nice, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Sure.
Take care. Joe in Columbus, you have a question. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I just had a cookie question. I wondered if you'd ever heard of one called Vanilla Sticks.
I have them in the box for Ian right here. Yes.
We do make Vanilla Sticks. Vanilla.
It's basically a meringue with ground almonds, and then you take roll it out, and then you put more meringue on top.
I remember that one.
Yes, yeah. It's a good cookie.
Yeah, okay. Really good. Does that help, Joe, or do you need a recipe?
Well, that's the recipe, all right, but my great aunt made them when I was a kid, and they were absolutely perfect, and I've tried for about 10 years every year, and they taste the same, they look kind of the same, but I just can't get them to come out right.
The consistency, what do you think the trick is?
Do they spread out when you bake them?
Yes.
Let them sit for about 12 hours.
Before
you let them dry before you bake them. That's another one of those that if you let it sit, they'll come straight up.
Yeah, okay. So you put the icing on and then let them sit for 12 hours?
Okay, I roll out the almonds and egg whites mixed together, and then you let that sit for a little bit and brush any flour or powdered sugar on it. Put the layer of meringue on it. Let it sit for another 5 or 10 minutes. Then you make nice, neat slices with a knife, and if it gets sticky, wipe it off with something wet, like a wet towel.
Mm-hmm.
Then put it on your tray and let it sit for at least 12 hours.
Room temperature.
At room temperature, just let it sit.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I'm missing. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot. Let's see. I'm trying to get to our callers. David in Columbus. Hi, David. You're on the air. We're running out of time, but I wanted to grab you.
Hi. Thank you. I have a question. This is the first year we're going to do a cookie exchange in a while. And I always tend to burn, or my cookies come out really, really crispy. And I don't know if what I'm doing wrong at the very end of the process. I cook them, or at least I think I cook them, until the time, you know, that's specified. But when I take them out, I don't know if I should immediately put them on a cooling rack, or we usually put them on newspaper that's spread out on the dining room table.
What kind of cookies are they, David?
Leave them on, anything I make.
Oh.
I'm betting your oven temperature gauge is off.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Check, get the oven.
Or take a minute or two off the time, because I'll keep baking on the cookie sheet.
And or take Lisa Kaminsky's advice and just make a few cookies at a time at the beginning until you get it down. And then let's see. We're out of time. We don't have time to take any more calls. I'm so sorry, everybody, about that. But thanks to everybody who was able to join the show and share your thoughts. We're going to be looking for that. Get that cookie recipe posted for the
cream wafers.
Okay, the mysterious cream wafers. We'll get that recipe posted later today. For now, Lisa Kaminsky, baking editor for Taste of Home magazine. Thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And Terry Moore, owner of My Old World Bakery in Southwest Columbus. Thanks as always. Always appreciate your time.
Oh, it's so much fun. And I learned something.
You always learn something.
Always.
And everybody else out there, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Enjoy your cookies. And thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and bells and stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. Now Christmas cookies are a special treat. The more she bakes, the more I eat. And sometimes I can't get myself to stop. Sometimes she'll wait till I'm asleep, and she'll take the ones that I didn't eat and put those little sprinkly things on top. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar.